Beloved in the Lord, the Bible was written with us in mind. It was written with your particular circumstances and life in mind. We can never say that the Scriptures do not help us, that they don't know, that they don't visualize this problem or this situation that we are facing. They are written by the Holy Spirit with us in mind. That is especially true of the New Testament epistles of the Apostle Paul. These epistles are not to be viewed as abstract religious theses upon theological questions submitted for a doctorate in the University of Jerusalem, but these epistles were written to Christians, to churches, to people of God, written to be the light of God and the balm for their soul. That's especially the case in the verse that we find in Galatians 6, verse 9, where we read, "And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap, if we faint not." In that word of God, the Scriptures are confronting us with a very serious and very common spiritual sin of becoming weary in well-doing. Here we have a people who are pointed in the right direction. You could not say that they were on the wrong road, but they had become weary, tired, hopeless, and fatalistic. They were shuffling along, doing the right things, all right, but doing them with drooping heads and hands. The Christian work that they had in the home and in the church and in their own personal life had become a burden. And you heard many sighs and weariness and a certain resignation you could see in them, and they began to withdraw themselves emotionally from the work, and they were evidenced with frustration. The people, you could not say, had ceased from the work. The church was attended. The minister was making his sermons. The elders and deacons were doing their work. The prayers were offered. The laundry was done, the dishes and the beds were made. But due to difficulties and due to sins, the vigor of the Christian life had escaped them, and a certain fatalism, a resignation, and a hopelessness was characterizing them. Is that true of you? Let's bring our souls under the rebuke and under the balm of the Word of God, which is written to us, and which so well knows us and searches us out. The exhortation of God is, do not be weary in well-doing. There's a great temptation, isn't there, for those who are blessed to do the work of the Lord Jesus to become weary in well-doing. We are prone to give in and to give out in doing good. What is meant here by well-doing? The idea is not humanitarian relief, but it refers to the work that Christ calls His people to do in His name. We read in Ephesians 2, verse 10, that we are His workmanship created in Christ Jesus unto good works which God had foreordained that we should walk in them. We were saved by grace alone in order that we might live a life of well-doing. And that well-doing is very vast. It covers all of our life, and it covers every child of God, from the oldest to the youngest. It's our entire life, as we are to live that life now out of the life of Jesus Christ. In the context, the Apostle Paul has in mind our church life. If you read the chapter in Galatians chapter 6, he's been referring to the communion of saints and of our calling to go to a man who has been overtaken in a fault and restore such a one in the spirit of meekness. He has exhorted us in the church to bear one another's burdens. And He has told us that we must do this in all humility. He has referred to the work of the minister. He speaks of him in verse 6, of the man who is taught in the Word to communicate to all the people of God, that living Word of God. So that when the Apostle says, don't be weary in well-doing, he's not just referring to a few people, but he's referring to all the people of God. He's not just referring to giving things to the poor, but he's referring to our whole life as we are to live that light of life out of Jesus Christ. Referring to the work of an elder and deacon in your church, yes, but mothers in the home and fathers as they bring up their children, as you go to work to support your family. Our church life is included. Our marriages are included. And all the deeds of thoughtfulness and kindness that we are to do in His name. witnessing of the gospel and pursuing the evangelism call of the church. All of these things are well doing. Literally, we could translate this beauty work. Do not be weary in beauty work. That's a very powerful word of God, because there we see that apart from God, every doing, every act, and every deed is darkness. Apart from the beauty of God's grace working first in our heart, every work that is performed on the earth, the Bible says, is ugly, smelly, soiled in pride. But there is beauty, and that beauty comes from God alone. And it's the beauty of His grace when He works through His people in Jesus Christ. That which does not then come out of self, that which is not rooted in self, but that which is of grace in us, that is beauty work. And even though now those works too are shot through with our own sin, yet God smiles because He sees in that work His wonderful grace. It's beauty work. Now don't be weary in beauty work. Further, we learn that this well-doing is synonymous with sowing to the Spirit. If you look at verses 7 and 8, just before verse 9 that we're considering, you'll see that the Word of God has set down a principle for everyone. There we have read that whatsoever a man sows, that shall he also reap. There are only two possibilities. One is either sowing in his life to destruction, or one is sowing in his life to life eternal. And the Word of God says that there is the absolute identity of what is sowed and what shall be reaped. You do not sow one thing and expect to reap another thing. So the Word of God is asking us, what are you sowing in your life? Are you sowing out of your flesh, or are you sowing out of the Spirit of Christ? If you sow out of your flesh, you are going to reap, you are going to receive corruption. If you sow by the Spirit of Christ, by grace you receive a reward of life eternal. Are you sowing greed in your life as a father? Well, then the Word of God says, don't expect contentment, but expect a constricted heart and anxious nights and narrow eyes. Are you sowing gossip in your church? You talk about others? Well, then don't expect peace and don't expect love in your church or in your marriage or family, but you shall harvest division and tension. Are you, as a young man, sowing lust through pornography in your life? Well, then don't expect that you are ever going to be satisfied if God gives you a wife. What you sow, you shall also reap. And so well-doing, then, is to be understood as that work of the Spirit of Christ, whereby we sow, looking for the life that is to come, that we might have an abundant harvest then. But you understand that well-doing is very hard. It's very difficult. It's continuous. It's never-ending. And this is really, I believe, the point of the apostle. You don't see the fruit of this kind of work quickly. And because that's the case, we become discouraged and our souls begin to sag. You say to me, are you telling me that my work as a mother is beauty work? Are you trying to mock me? Have you ever seen my house on a Monday morning? It's upside down. Beauty work with my child? I yell at my child. How can that be beauty work? Beauty work in our marriage, you say to me? Well, that's hard work. And maybe you say, it's never going to change. Our marriage isn't going to change. He's not going to change. We're just going to resign ourselves to have to live with it. We give up. Maybe you say that in the church. You say, I tried to be active in the communion of the saints. I tried to have people over to my house. There's no reciprocation. Beauty work, I've been hurt in the church. Maybe you say to me as an elder, Pastor, you calling our work beauty work? While in the church, it seems that the problems are greater than anywhere else. And maybe personally you say, I'm weary. I can't seem to get out of the doldrums. The spiritual resiliency has departed from my life because of obstacles, because of the sins of others, because of my own sins. I'm tempted to say, well, if that's the way they're going to be, see if I care. And so often we find ourselves then settling down into the routine. In the earlier days of fresh spiritual vigor, are a distant dream. And we become discouraged and we become tempted to withdraw from doing good. Doing good in church, in marriage, in family, in our personal life. We begin to multiply obstacles and magnify obstacles and we say, we can't do that. And we're ready to quit. And we would if we could find a good excuse for doing so. That's a great danger, to become weary in well-doing. It's a great danger because that's going to lead to hopelessness. Then perhaps we don't quit the work. So to speak, we continue doing the good things that we're supposed to be doing, but we don't have a heart for it. We don't have a heart anymore for our marriage. We don't have a heart for our family, for our church, for our personal walk with Christ, for witnessing. It all becomes a duty that we simply resign ourselves to do and go through the motions. And a voice begins to speak within you. Don't listen to the voice, but this is what it says. Give up. Give way. Give in. You're weary. You're not appreciated. It's too much for you to do this. And we think that we are some kind of martyr, and even though we don't have it, we have it in our hearts. We go on and say, well, I'm just going to do it, even though I don't